we would be shouting and saying, wow, this is so awesome. Now at 50 degrees, we're thinking, man, something's happening. Something's changing. And that, in fact, is true. Go to the book of Daniel, one page after Daniel's book of Hosea. Hosea. Minor prophet only because the number of words that he wrote are not as long as some of the others. An interesting character, Hosea. Interesting marriage situation. God called Hosea to marry a harlot. That's as polite a word as I can come up with. And God wanted Hosea to be a living illustration of what the nation of Israel was to God. There are a number of things that I'd like to say this evening, but I'm going to just try to focus on this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to be long. Just a short devotion, and we'll have time for prayer. Why don't I pray first, and then we'll look at our passage of Scripture. Lord, it is impossible to underestimate the value of your word. Or maybe it is. Maybe we take the word of God for granted. Maybe we are so programmed that it's so easy for us to forget. It's so easy for us to go on autopilot. It's so easy for us to do 3 chapters, a prayer, hit our coffee, and go for the rest of the day. And there are others that choose not to read the Word, choose not to meditate or study or be fed. That's probably not the case of a Wednesday night group, but a Wednesday night crowd has its own problems. We have our own hang-ups and our own besetting sins. So, Lord, I pray that this evening you might speak to our hearts personally, directly, individually. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God search us and examine us. Let the Word of God speak, Lord, and allow me to be quiet as much as possible, we pray. For those that couldn't be with us, I ask you to watch over them in a special way. Bless our time of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosea chapter 4. Because this is Hosea's book, Hosea is the prophet who's speaking. It says in verse number 1, hear the word of the Lord. Now, that should be self-explanatory. Look with me at Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. Says, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea. And then it gives his pedigree, his family, and reminds us that Hosea was a prophet to the bad group of Israelites, the northern kingdom. So Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom, but it reminds us as well that there were kings in Judah during the same period. So this is one of those time periods in the nation of Israel's history, Judah's history, like America, where we're a divided nation. So we have the north and the south, and that's what's happening here. verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. So this book is dedicated to this particular prophet, God speaking to him, through him, for the rebellious nation of Israel. Not the good nation of Judah, who postponed their captivity, but this is Hosea reminding the northern tribes, your time is limited. You don't have much time left. Which might not be a bad thought for us. Chapter 4, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Now, we could focus on that word here, and we could park there for the rest of the evening. But there's a huge difference between listening, being exposed to, being surrounded by, and not listening, not hearing. Most of us are so familiar with background music, wherever it happens to be, even in a bathroom for a drive-in fast food restaurant. You can't get away from the music, can you? In the mall. It's everywhere. There's music. So we're being bombarded by stuff all the time as opposed to hearing. Lord, speak to me. Let your servant listen. And it's so easy to say, oh, this is really for this person. And that's the danger. For most of us, because we sit or we read the Word of God and we say, oh, look at that, and we write somebody else's name in the margin. That's for them. I did the same thing this morning. I did the same thing. But it was a good passage. It was a good friend of mine in Blue Springs, Missouri. And I'm trying to encourage him to come out here and do our Begin and Finishing Well conference. And I found a passage in the book of Romans that would be perfect. So I used it on an email this morning and said, just to tempt you, just to encourage you, here's a passage of scripture that validates the reason why you need to come here. Of course, I had all ulterior motives. Let me just share that passage with you. Romans chapter 15, if you'd go there. Romans 15, he's never preached in our church before. And I thought, yes, this is exactly what he needs to hear. Sorry? Chicken wings. He knows all about that. He knows all about that. Romans 15, we'll start in verse 29. And I am sure, doesn't that start out right? I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Isn't that enticing? How could he resist an invitation like that? Well, I did get his attention, and he did send me back an email to say, we're right in the middle of our missions conference. Continue to pray for our missions conference. And after our missions conference, I'll pray about whether I come out to see you or not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. So he's addressing this to God's people, as we will do that this evening. Hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Meaning, we have an issue. There's a problem. What's the problem? Because there is no truth. Nor mercy. Nor knowledge of God in the land. Or in your home, or in your workplace, or in your devotion time. There is no knowledge of God. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they, my people, break out, and blood toucheth blood. It's so bad that the blood that's being spilt from one is running into the blood being spilt by another. Therefore, shall the land mourn. To grieve. The land will grieve before God's people will grieve. Now, I don't understand this. The rocks will cry out if God's people don't praise the Lord. What does that mean, the rocks will cry out? Therefore shall the land mourn. Probably that means there'll be some kind of vegetative consequences. Because they, like us, live off the land. We don't live off of Wegmans. The food chain begins out of the ground, right? Okay. Even though some of us in this room don't like vegetables. So for those of us that don't like vegetables, all the meat that you consume would be irrelevant without the vegetables. Just remember that. Okay. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. So there's going to be a problem with the land. God's going to judge the land. Then God basically says, everyone that dwells in the land that I'm going to curse because of your behavior will languish with the beasts of the field. They're going to be affected by it. The fowls of the heaven, they're going to be affected by it. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Basically, whatever you're going to use for food, I'm going to touch. Not in a good way. Verse 4. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another. Why? Because you got a beam in your own eye. Right? Remember, God is dealing with the nation, the rebellious northern tribes, who at this point, there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And then he goes in verse 2 and says, swearing, lying, killing, stealing, adultery, and on and on and on. Let no man strive nor reprove another. Oh, you think you're something? For thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Aha. Now, God brings in the religious context here. So not only are you destroying each other, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Now, we could say everything rises and falls on leadership, right? You've heard that at least one time in your life. So we have this dilemma. Is the nation of Israel, the northern tribes, this way because of the priests, because of poor leadership, or are the leaders the way they are because the people are the way they are? Yes. Have you ever been a leader? If you're a parent, you're a leader. Have you ever gotten to that place where you're so discouraged you're ready to throw it up in the air? Right? Let them go. Let them do what they want. I'm so sick and tired of having controversy and conflict and yada, yada, yada. There's always a fight. There's always contention. Do what you want. We're tempted to do that, right? Some of us are guilty of that too. Your boss, work, school, the nation. Don't you think people that have to deal with people sometimes get tired of people? You would think, right? Well, you got a job. You got a, you know, you're a leader. But if nobody's following, if nobody's obeying, if nobody's doing what they ought to be doing or should be doing, are you leading? No. They're a bunch of sheep not listening to the shepherd, right? How much fun is that? So now the nation of Israel, God is basically now saying, oh, now let's talk about the priests, our spiritual leaders. Because the nation of Israel is either in the shape they're in because there's so many doing their own deal, or the leaders are so bad and so corrupt that they're leading the people to be so corrupt. Probably both in this situation. So God picks a prophet by the name of Hosea. And God says, hey, Hosea, I got a plan for you. Lord, I'm all ready. I'm ready to go. Good. Because the interesting plan I have for you is you're going to marry a whore. Excuse me? Yeah. And you're going to love her in light of it and in spite of it. And she's going to play the harlot while married to you. You're actually going to go to her in the home of another man, and you're going to bring food and money to her and to her beau and to her lover just to make sure she's fed and taken care of. And you're going to walk away. No, that doesn't say that in that book. Oh, it does. It does. And she's going to be so destitute at some point that some people believe that she might have been put in a slave context where now, instead of him buying her back as an adulteress, he had to buy her back as a slave. And he bought her back with silver. Now, most prophets I know don't have silver. They might have wood, hay, and stubble as a paycheck, but they don't have silver. So Hosea buys her back with silver. And it was at that point that all of those that were watching this crazy, bizarre prophet were scratching their head thinking, I've never seen love like that. That's because God's using him as an illustration of himself. And the nation of Israel is being contrasted to the adulteress. Because the nation of Israel wanted both lives, right? They wanted the blessings of the relationship with God, but they didn't want the obedience. They didn't want the loyalty. They didn't want any of that that would constitute a faithful, trusting relationship. So here, Hosea is now bringing the priesthood into. You're going to strive with the priests. Verse 5. Therefore, shalt thou fall in the day. Now, most people, when they walk in the day, they do pretty well. No matter what terrain you might be on, walking in the day is usually a whole lot easier than walking in the night. Zambia, Africa was probably the darkest place I've walked in the night. And because I didn't know the terrain, I had to be careful. Most of us can walk around our backyards. Most of us can walk around our neighborhoods in the dark. Being up at Cindy's parents' house, every once in a while we'd go up there, Jason and I would take a walk. And, you know, street lights would be minimum and the stars would be outrageous. It'd be awesome. But that was dark. But it says here, walk in the day. that they're going to fall in the day. Meaning, this is a picture of not nighttime, but daytime. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. Now, that could be meaning himself, the prophet. I am going to fall with you. Or not. Now, Moses, as difficult as this seems, as the nation of Israel was making their choices, and as Moses was trying to relate to God and trying to obey the Lord personally, corporately, congregationally, then the nation of Israel decided, we're not going in. So Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, the three that wanted to go in, have to now pay the price for 38 and a half years and wander with a group of bozos. Have to wander now with a bunch of knuckleheads, bury them all, because they're all going to die. And then God's going to give the new generation a new chance. So they had to go through that very difficult time, just like Hosea has to go through this very difficult time with the nation. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Now Hosea is not speaking. Who's speaking? God is speaking. This is not the first mother joke, but this ain't funny. I will destroy thy mother. What does that mean? To a Jew, to a culture that's family-oriented, this is a serious, serious judgment. I will destroy thy mother. Verse 6. My people are destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, we've seen that word before, haven't we? In what verse? Verse 1. So here in verse 6, God is saying, from God's perspective, my people are, not will be, or not have been, my people are presently destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? It says in verse 1, a knowledge of God. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge of me. How do you get to know God? That's a basic question, but it is important. How do you get to know God? If you are not saved, the only knowledge of God you can have would be secondhand. Right? You could know about God through somebody else's life. Listening, watching, etc. And you could know about God intellectually. In your soul, you could know about God. You could know about God in your spirit, but if the Holy Spirit is not in your spirit, if the Holy Spirit is not in your life or my life, we have no knowledge of God, right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit of God indwelling, and we have Romans chapter 8, the witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have the witness of God to witness to us internally that we are the children of God. Well, how do you know you're saved? I don't know how to explain it. You ever talk to a person who's been saved for less than a week? Well, I'm saved. Well, how do you know? I don't know. Can't explain it. I just know. Well, how do you know? That's what it is. It's the witness of the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, and you don't even know how to say it. You don't even know how to explain it. How do I explain it? I don't know. Well, what happened? I don't know. And you sound like a nincompoop. But spiritually, you're changed. And that's all good. So God is warning the nation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. because thou hast rejected knowledge. Now we could, you know, go all over the map with this phrase, you've rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. The context is the knowledge of God. The context is not culinary arts. The context is not history. The context is not neuroscience. The context is not astronomy. It's the knowledge of God. In this context, God says, I will also reject thee. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest passages of Scripture that touched my heart was when I realized I was accepted in the Beloved. That God had accepted me. Because life here without God is just a continual rejection after rejection. That's what life is here. Without God, it's all about rejection. Amen? All right, I got two eyewitnesses. Praise the Lord. The rest of you, I don't know where you live, what world you live in. But according to the Bible, we're rejected and we have to be reestablished in our relationship with God. If you don't know what that feels like, just get involved in a relationship somewhere with somebody and you'll understand rejection. If not, go live on the moon and you can live by yourself and you won't feel rejection with other people. You'll just feel rejected by God. And that's why we have to get saved, because we're rejected by God because of our sin. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Now, the Bible talks about us being priests in our home. So if God is rejecting us, then we, in our leadership position in our home, in our communities, wherever it might be, we're not going to be able to represent our families, anybody, to the Lord as a priestly representation. Verse 6, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Now, I wonder in the world what that could mean. Thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. In the book of Hosea, what would that be referencing to? The law of thy God means equals class. The law of God is the word of God. Right? Okay. That's simple. You have forgotten the word of God. Now, that's enough. We don't have to talk about anything else. You've forgotten the word of God. Therefore, I will also forget you. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. It's worse than that. You've forgotten the word, I'll forget your children. I don't know about you, but that's the passage of Scripture 2 days ago that rocked my morning. You're going to forget my children? That's a promise from God that you're going to forget my children? God is speaking. Verse 7, as they were increased, growing in number, so they sinned against me. It's not Hosea. They've sinned against God. Therefore, will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. I don't know about you, but when I eat, my goal is not to eat sin. My goal is to eat a nice meal. This passage goes way beyond that, doesn't it? They eat up the sin of my people. Give me more. more sin. And they set their heart. I can't wait. I can't wait to get up in the morning to sin. That's what it says. I've set my heart. I've set my emotions. I've set my passion on iniquity. I don't know about you, but I try to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I can't wait to get to your word. Because I have no idea what you're going to give me today. And I can't wait to be blessed. Even if you give me nothing, I know I've spent time with you. And I know I'm going through the word. But 2 days ago, this passage of scripture knocked me off my chair. Verse 9. And there shall be like people, like priest. Everything rises or falls on leadership. Or not. Like people, like priest. Like priest, like people. So you're a pastor of a church. What kind of church you got? Well, it all depends on the pastor. Always? Always? Not always. What kind of pastor you got? Well, what kind of church you got? It's a mixture, don't you think? Like priest, like people, like priest. It works hand in hand, doesn't it? One of the greatest days of my life as a Christian was Monday morning with Cindy opening up all the cards. It was awesome. Of course, Ida's card was completely in Spanish. Thank you, Mrs. I tried to pretend like I knew what it meant. Of course, the translation was in the back. But when you lead, it's not always enjoyable. It's not always fun. It's not always rewarding. Because the sheep that you're leading don't always want to be led, do they? No. They don't always want to be shepherded and pastured. And the pastor, the shepherd, might have an oversight, might be blind in a particular area, might not know that that group of sheep found a hideout that the shepherd doesn't know about. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the shepherd can't know everything. Ah, that shepherd really doesn't care. You see what happened to those 5 sheep over there? But he didn't know that they had a pig pen that they fell in. Well, he should know the land. He should know there's a pig pen over there. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we should all do, right? Like people, like priest. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. That makes sense. Galatians talks about Galatians chapter 6. Top left-hand side, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Verse 10. For they shall eat and not have enough. I don't know where that exact word is in my Bible, but I've got that word highlighted in yellow-green. Yellow-green to me means the color of money. Every passage in my Bible that deals with money is yellow-green highlighted to remind me this deals with money. So here we have a word, enough. Do we have enough? Look in our garages. Do we have enough? Look in our basements. What is enough? Enough? Don't take me to Old Country Buffet. Don't. Just take me to a place. This is all you get. That's enough. Because some people have a problem with enough. We don't know enough, and enough is enough. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. Because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. I think that's self-explanatory, don't you think? I think so. And just for a PS, just for a postscript, just a doctrinal truth about human nature, and something that you should stick in your pipe and smoke it, as they used to say. Look at the next verse. If you want to know about the human heart, whoredom, meaning adultery, fornication, outside of the marital bond, and wine, and new wine. Okay, so if you don't know what that means, wine is alcoholic. New wine is grape juice. Now, you might not think grape juice can affect you, the fruit of the vine. According to the Bible, there were a group of people that chose not to drink or eat anything of the vine. Not raisins, not grape juice, nothing, nada, period. Why? Because it takes away the heart. Do I understand that? Nope. But God's word says it. So how can we guard our heart better? There's a good passage of scripture to remind you. Put that on your mirror somewhere. Put that in your Bible. Put that in the front cover of your Bible. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Oh, no, it doesn't. Oh, really? My Bible says it does. You mean to tell me I can't? And then you get into this argument, right? What do you mean? Well, God's word says it takes away the heart. Yeah, I don't understand it, but God said it, and I've experienced it, and so have you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I hope that's not true of you, because the devil goes about roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Lord, we come to you. I pray, perhaps a little more sober, a little more meditative, maybe a little more serious. There are many things in our lives that are competing for our time, our attention, our devotion, our money, our care, our commitment. What is more important than our relationship with you? Of course, everything in balance, false balance, is an abomination to the Lord. We get that. But the nation of Israel thought that because of who they were, they were automatically in, which is not the case. It's not true. So, Lord, protect us. Remind us that being in requires investment on our part. It requires teachability on our part. It requires biblical examination. So help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take time for prayer requests, could we?